Hey, Texhelly here. I've been asked to do this week's Top 10 Tuesday because we always adore alliteration on the podcast. My top 10 list here is the top 10 password myths. These are the things that people fire back at me as I'm telling them, hey, let's create a password for you. So let's start at the top here. The classic, and this is what we spent years teaching you, everybody. Have an 8-digit password with mixed uppercase and lowercase and a number and at least one symbol. So you would end up with this password that looks like a cartoon character swearing. P, lowercase L, and then a pound sign, and then an ampersand. And here you'd have this whole list of 8 characters. And that was true for a while, that was the best password you could come up with because, hey, the guy sitting next to you probably couldn't figure out by looking at your hands what exactly you're typing. And most systems couldn't be brute force cracked by a computer trying to guess passwords. And that was true, say, to the end of the 90s. Now, a iPhone has enough computing power to crack any 8-digit password in under 5 minutes, as long as they don't get timed out or locked out trying to brute force a password. There's things that are called rainbow tables that also fit on a handheld device like a cell phone that have every possible what's called hash of a password. So you don't want to use an 8-digit character password anymore. You want to go long. That's the key. At the end of this, I'll give the best practices. There's no perfect password, but there's ways to make a better password. And so after number 10, I'll give you my, hey, this is your best possible password methodology. And it is a methodology. It's not a formula. It's not a recipe. It's just a, here's your best practices. But yeah, don't go with 8 characters. Because what'll happen is, if you go with 8 characters and it's an uppercase, lowercase, ampersand, and pound sign, you're not going to be able to remember that. Nobody can remember that unless you have a mnemonic device that is just unbelievable to remember that. So yeah, that's number one. 8-digit passwords are kaputsky. Number two, don't use a dictionary word in your password. Okay. Don't use just a dictionary word in your password as your password. This has happened a lot. I've heard in the past. I had people who were like, "Oh, it's in the dictionary, but it's a pretty rare word." Don't do that. The reason why is because brute force password crackers have dictionaries. They have a text file that you can download off the internet. Just search for dictionary.txt, and then you can get a password cracking dictionary that has all the dictionary words in it. And then people will try capitalizing the first letter, not capitalizing the first letter, putting a one at the end of it, putting a one at the front of it. And so you can write a password cracker that'll go through and try most common permutations of passwords over and over. Pencil, PENCIL, is one of the most common passwords because people, basically, we're just monkeys in shoes. We'll see something in front of us and have to use that as our password. So in my case, I would accidentally use the Maltese Falcon as my password. So, yes, you can use a dictionary word in your password as long as that's not the only word. Don't use just pencil as your password. You can say Batman's pencil. Hey, that's adding a layer of complexity there, and it's longer. And as I'll explain in a little bit, why long is your friend. So number two, the myth is don't use a dictionary word in your password. Don't use just the true answer is don't use just a dictionary word as your password. Now, number three, sorry, never write down your passwords. This is partially true. You don't want to write your password and put it on a sticky note and slap it on the wall next to your computer at work. I've seen this so many times. Don't write your password on a sheet of paper that's underneath your keyboard in your computer tray at work. I have to occasionally be a white hat hacker and get into a system. It is so easy to find people's passwords, it's not even funny. So here's the thing, too. Let's think about the accounts you have. If you're listening to this, chances are you have an iTunes account or a Google Play account. You got your Facebook account, your LinkedIn account, your Home Depot account, your Kroger Safeway QFC account. You've got your work email, your home email, your bank login. I'm doing Boy Scouts. I have a scouting.org login. You have so many passwords you have to know that the temptation is, hey, I'm going to reuse the same password everywhere. Don't do that. That's a bad thing. Go ahead and write down the passwords and then keep them somewhere safe. Put them in a safe if you have one next to your desk. And if you're at home, do this. Write your passwords somewhere that somebody breaking into your house isn't going to steal your password. A good example would be on the back of a picture of your kids or your mom and dad, your dog Sparky. Write your passwords on there, on the back of that. Somebody breaks in, they're going to grab your television, they're going to grab your laptop computer, which you should have password protected and locked. They're going to grab that kind of stuff. They're not going to go rifling around in your clothes. Most likely they'll check. When I had somebody break into my house, they did dig through my mom's underwear drawer looking for jewelry. So don't put your password there, but put your password somewhere safe. And honestly, make sure that you use different passwords on different websites. So that's one of my go-to things, because I've had people say, oh, never write down your passwords. Well, you will always forget them because you have 20 different passwords to memorize. I added it up one time. I'm well over 350 passwords that I have to know on a daily basis. And that's a little insane. Nobody can keep that in their brain. So number three, never write down your passwords. Not true. Just write it down somewhere safe. And for God's sake, don't use a password twice. Don't use it over and over again. A good example of why you don't want to do that, LinkedIn was just hacked. And one of my accounts, one of my passwords was in there. It was exposed. It's in a database. And thankfully, I don't use that password anywhere else because I don't trust these website operators to have good security. So I'm going to, they should never have stored my password in a way that could have been gotten back. But that's a different rant for a different day and probably a little more high tech for this podcast. Number four. Never let a website store your password, and don't let websites save cookies. I've heard this one too. Here's the thing. Security is a sliding scale. You can have a computer that is completely secure. One of my clients has a super secure network. The reason why, it's not connected to the internet at all. If you need to bring data onto that network, it better be on a thumb drive. And there are secure networks I know of where even all the thumb drive holes are turned off with group policy, and they're also hot glue shut. So that is super duper secure. Keeps people from taking data out. The only way somebody's getting data out is if they shoot screenshots with their cell phone. And I know of a game house that literally makes people lock their cell phones up before they go into the code room. So, yeah, security is a sliding scale. If you are not doing top secret stuff, if you're just a regular Joe user of the internet, go ahead on your computer, let it save your password. As long as you have a good password to get into the computer and you have good passwords on each individual site. So when it says, hey, remember me, that's a safe thing as long as that's a computer you're not sharing with a lot of other people. And another careful thing is only be logged into one secure site at a time. What does that mean? Don't be logged into your bank and be browsing the internet at the same time. There was a hack where people who would go to this forum about ING investments, there was a bad guy script on there on the forum that would take your ING account, transfer your money to somebody else and then close your account out. It was brutal and brilliant. So if you logged into ING, did your stuff, logged out, logged into this forum, you wouldn't have been hit. So it's where if you're doing banking, hop in, hop out. Other computer experts will know this isn't exactly perfect science here, because there's if something stays resident, yes, the next time you can log in, it'll get you. But my other rants have been about keeping your computer up to date and ways to block ads. So that's a thing for a different day. Yes, computer experts, I'm making this overly simple, but I have people who are literally killing themselves with the level of security they try to attempt to do, and they're really not doing anything but inconveniencing themselves. The other side rant with that is cookies. Cookies are a good thing. They make your preferences stay on the website. So if you turn off cookies, then every time you hit that website, it's going to be like the guy from what's that movie where he has no long-term memory? It's going to come to me. My brother's screaming it at his radio right now. I can't remember it. Every time you show up, your computer will be a complete amnesiac. You'll have to re-log in and reset up your settings. It's just a pain. Cookies are okay. Third-party cookies are bad. Turn off third-party cookies. That's a different rant for a different day. So cookies good, third-party cookies bad. All right. So that's number four, never let a website store your password. No. Go ahead and let it store your password as long as the computer that you use, you trust, you keep in your possession. Okay. Number five, it's okay to share the password with the people you work with because they all have the access to the same stuff as you. The number one way people hack networks, most hacks come from within. It's somebody who is trying to find out information about who's earning what. They're trying to they know they're about to get fired, so they set up time bombs to do things. Most damaging computer attacks come from within. If you have handed your password out to Cindy Lou Who and she gets her tookus canned for all of her Horton Hears a Who fanfic she's been posting on the internet on company time, she now has your password, and you may not know that she was canned. And so you're sitting at home watching television. She's VPN'd into the network, wreaking havoc with your login. Her account got disabled as she was marched out the door. She has your account. Never share your password with coworkers, or if you share it with coworkers, as soon as they're done, always make a policy of changing your password immediately. After that, it's not a hey, I don't trust this guy. It's a this is my policy. Every time I've had to hand out my password, I'm going to change my password. Most IT places, that's their policy anyway. If I work on your account, I'm going to reset your password to whatever default we've set for your network and do my work. And then when the next time you log in, it'll prompt you immediately to set a new password. That's standard password procedure practice. If you hand out your password to anybody for whatever reason, change your password immediately after they're done whatever they needed to do. So that's number five, sharing passwords with coworkers. Number six, change your password every 90 days. Change your password every 30 days. I've heard these a bunch. The thinking was, if somebody has your password, the bad guys have your password, then they're going to be able to get at your stuff, and changing your password every 30, 60, 90 days is going to keep them out. That is good practice. Yes, if you can keep up with that, more power to you. If you have, like we were talking about before, I gave a list of about, 5 to 10 websites everybody uses, Facebook, LinkedIn, your home email. I mean, at least 10 passwords you have to change. You're going to be spending a minimum of about an hour every 30 to 90 days, whatever schedule you're on, changing your passwords. Now, what we've found out is if bad guys get your password, if script kiddies, botnets, those guys get your password, if spammers get your email password, they use it almost immediately. So, in other words, as soon as your password is compromised, they're using it. Changing it 30, 60, 90 days won't matter because they'll have already done something that'll gotten you in the internet slammer. A spammer will have sent spam through your stuff. A script kiddie botnet guy will have already gotten into your corporate network. So I suggest using very good passwords and then using two-factor authentication. That is something we haven't talked about yet, but two-factor means you enter your password and then you get a text message on your cell phone. You can get an actual audio call with a recording that you enter a code. Some things like the Steam video game service has an app on their phone. You log into Steam and then it pops up with a little key on your phone. You have to enter both those to get in. A lot of people are now using those RSA key fobs. You put in your password on the website, and then you append a number at the end of that is appearing on the little key fob you have. That's all two-factor authentication. Whenever possible, always use two-factor authentication. And that way, you don't have to kill yourself changing your password every 60, 90 days. And change your password anytime a website reports that they've been hacked. So, Home Depot had their credit card machine stuff stolen. One of the things that everybody who has a HomeDepot.com account should do, change your password. Same deal with when LinkedIn was hacked. I now have a comically long password at LinkedIn that and I can't remember what it was, and because I never use LinkedIn, the next time I ever have to use LinkedIn, I'm going to have to do the forgot my password thing. And the cool thing is that's a two-factor thing. I'll have to put in my email address, and it's going to send a link to my email to get my password reset. If you're ever on a website and you click the forgot my password, and it emails you your password back in clear text, in other words, right there in the email, stop using that website. The people that run that are not smart. They're going to, that means they're storing their password in such a way they can hand it back to you like that. And they're letting you know they do that, which if the bad guys know that, then they're going to be working overtime to be able to get at that. Plus, they can intercept your email. There's lots of ways people can look at clear text emails. That's a rant for a different day. I will hit that later. So yeah, the change your password every 90 days. No, you'll kill yourself. You'll drive yourself bonkers doing that. Yeah, it's not a bad practice, but nobody does it. So the people that I know who've done that on their corporate networks that do the 30 days or 90 days, yeah, that's pretty simple. That's one password to change. But truthfully, if you're doing it in one place, you honestly should be doing it in other places. And the people, because we're just monkeys in shoes, we're going to be tempted to use the same password everywhere. And so that's even worse than having a stale password hanging out there, is having a password that's the same. So LinkedIn got hacked. And you had just set all of your passwords to that same password. Hey, congratulations! They now have your ING account. They have your Bank of America account. They have your Netflix password. You know, that's the important one. Your Netflix password, right? The other one I get is don't use your kid or your pet's names in your password. Well, as I'm going to cover in a little bit here, I'm sorry. Number six was change your password every 90 days. Number seven, don't use your kids' names or pets' names in your password. Here's the thing. If it depends on who you think is going to be coming after you. If you are a wealthy person who thinks that your good-for-nothing son-in-law is going to be the one trying to hack you and take all of your money, yeah, don't use your kids' names, your pets' names, don't use the name of your yacht. But if you're you, me, Joe Average Internet user again, go ahead and use both your kids' names or your your kids' names and your parents' names together. Mix them around. Capitalize the first letters. Jam them together. Make a password that's 20 digits long. That's Mary Ann and Bruce. That's a crazy long password. And because it's Mary Ann and you have the word and thrown right in the middle there, hey, use the ampersand symbol there. You've got a good long password, and whoa, sorry about that. And it's not going to it's not going to be guessed by anybody unless they are really targeting you and they know you really well. And that's the key thing. The bad guys, unless you're a multi-multi-millionaire or a celebrity, the bad guys aren't trying to target you. They're just trying to target American who has money, or internet user who has money, or Canadian with money. It's all about identity theft. They don't want to steal your password. They want to, or your password, your accounts. They want to steal money. That's what they're after. So they're not going to be targeting you and doing lots of specific attacks on you to figure out who you are and how to hack it. Now, all that said, if you're the CEO of a company and you have a Rubik Hegg slacker kid that you're about to fire, and he knows that your children are Muffy and Bunny, and it might be a good time to change that password away from that, because the kid, after you fire him, he's gonna try to log back into the network and mess with you. So yes, you can use your kids' names, your pets' names, your mom's name, your yacht's name in the password, as long as you are not the kind of person who's going to be targeted by a directed hacking attempt. For heaven's sakes, President Obama, I would hope his passwords don't involve his children's names. So it's one of those rules that, truthfully, yes, if you're trying to protect yourself from Craig, who sits at the next desk from you, it's probably not the best to use your kids' names. But for the most part, go ahead, use a password you're going to be able to remember. You're going to be able to remember your kids' names. Number 8, never use a password storage system. They're just trying to steal your passwords. Now, this is an iffy one. I don't personally use any password storage automated ones like Dashlane or what's the other one? Never something or other. I have a lot of people that use them, but from what I've seen from the audits, check. I wouldn't use just a fly-by-night one. If it ends in dot ru, don't do it. But like Dashlane and those other ones have been vetted by millions of people who are using them and security professionals. And from what I've seen, most of those are pretty darn safe. Plus, things like Google Wallet and Apple Pay and Android, was it Android Wallet? I can't. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. But those also can store some of your passwords to websites and store credit cards and all that in there. You're trusting them with a heck of a lot, and they have a lot of skin in the game for keeping you safe because they're publicly traded companies like Google with Chrome. If they get compromised, it's going to make national news. It's going to make the stock price drop. Bad things will happen. So, yes, you can if you need to. If you have a terrible memory and you don't have to go grab the picture of the kids like I described earlier every time you want to log into Facebook or Netflix, sure. Use a password remembering tool. What the heck? Okay, now number 9. It's safe to use a kiosk at a hotel because my company uses HTTPS, in other words, a website that's secure. It has a little lock on it. It's secure. Here's a couple of rants. Hotels are notorious for having script kiddie hacker guys put either physical devices at a hotel in Just outside of Arlington, I found a password stealing USB key. I pulled it off the computer, handed it to the front desk guy, and then we stayed at the hotel the very next week, and there was the same device plugged back into the computer. And I asked the hotel guy, and he's like, "I think that's part of the computer. A guy said that had to be plugged in there." And I'm like, "Does that guy work for your company?" "No, he just comes in and works on the computers occasionally. He said that that has to be there." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, this guy's just walking in, stealing passwords to who knows what." And it's right around DC. So, yeah, fantastic. That's been years ago. That was 2002-ish. Two that no, two, what was my 2006-ish, because my daughter was two at the time. Sorry, random thoughts, but yes. So physical device hooked up to the keyboard that just took every keystroke you typed in. It would just sit there and just grab everything typed into the computer, and then this guy would come in every couple of weeks and collect the device and put in a new one, or take the data off. But yeah, he was just straight up farming the stuff. So I told the manager to call the cops the next time the guy came in, and I never heard how that one turned out. But you can only do so much to help people, and I don't know. Like I said, at the time I had a 2-year-old. I did not have time to do tech support and police. Try to call the police on somebody who I'm hours and hours and hours away to drive from. Okay, so the other thing is, on those hotel kiosk computers, there can be programs that are sitting on the computer that are sitting there stealing passwords. Most antiviruses are pretty smart. They can grab those. They can notice whenever something's stealing keystrokes. It's what's called a heuristic check. But there are lots of ways a nefarious dude could put something on the computer to steal passwords. Also, to not be sexist, it could be a nefarious dudette. So, yeah, don't, if at all possible, don't use a public kiosk at a hotel or anywhere there's a public kiosk. Another side thing to that is a open wireless. Be very careful with that. If it's wireless, if it's no password wireless, like at a coffee shop or whatever, there are ways that you're on a shared network at that point. People can use things to hijack your session, steal things. There's what's called a man-in-the-middle attack. There's a brilliant one that I'll talk about in another Top 10 Tuesday, where somebody hacked Microsoft with a brilliant man-in-the-middle attack. Actually, I can't remember. Well, I don't know if I can tell the details of that one because I. Okay, I'll look up whether or not that was a story told to me in confidence, or one I can share. But yeah, there are man-in-the-middle attacks are really scary things that can happen in a coffee shop because somebody can just intercept all traffic if it's an open Wi-Fi that you're connecting to. So, if you're connecting to a password protected one, you're more secure, but that's a different rant for a different day. All right. Number 10. Somebody stole my identity. They must have all my passwords. No, not necessarily. There are a lot of ways that your password can be stolen. If your identity is compromised, if somebody's using your credit card or somebody's logging into your email, if someone is pretending to be you, applying for credit cards and with your social security number, any of that can come from lots of locations. We've ran it on the podcast before where the Philippines government accidentally leaked an entire when they were hacked, leaked a list of everybody's government ID numbers. Yeah, there's a lot of places that the bad guys can get your stuff. If you are compromised, call in your computer friend. Treat them nice. Buy them a pizza or beer or a candy bar or whatever that they like. Have them check your computer out. Make sure it's squeaky clean. After it's clean, do change your passwords to the stuff that matters the most, like your bank, your investment houses, that kind of thing. But identity recovery is a whole big rigmarole. So yeah, this is a minor one, but yes, yeah, the thought that, hey, somebody must have my password because my identity's been compromised, not necessarily. I'm not gonna stop you from changing your passwords for sure, but make sure your computer's clean before you do change your passwords, because the terrible irony is when I've seen people who do have something on their computer that's stealing their password, and they change their password on that very computer. It you're just putting the flat tire back in the car at that point. It's not you're not solving any problems. So, as I promised, here is my wrap up. How do you make Tech Sally? How do you make a good password? Go long. Use three words, four words. Make a sentence. For a secure storage solution I use full English sentences. So I can remember what the password is, and then it makes it long enough that nothing's ever going to crack that. But most of our podcast listening audience is outside of the US. A lot of you are in the Philippines, a lot of you are in Spain, Portugal, and Brazil. You, if you're listening to us, speak at least English and one other language. This is awesome. You have the ability to make a password that no dictionary cracker is ever going to come close to, because you can mix in, oh, dictionary crackers are specific to languages. You can get a Spanish dictionary, you can get a Portuguese dictionary, you can get an English dictionary. I don't know of one that shuffles those all in together. So if you know multiple languages, hey man, jam a couple of Spanglish words in, mix in any other language that you know in there. I know just a smattering of Latin and Gaelic. I toss those in my passwords to add a little bit of salt. So if the system allows you to make a password that long, go for it. So you can have your password be Lightning McQueen is a fast car, the Cars movie character there. So your password is Lightning McQueen is a fast car. Or hey, I liked Finding Dory. Those are perfectly good long passwords that somebody's not going to guess, because it's a good long password. It's a English sentence. It has spaces in it. It has a capital letter at the beginning. Has a period or an exclamation mark at the end. You can say Batman versus Superman sucked. Oh, exclamation mark at the end. You've got all kinds of different ways you can make a long password. Now, be careful. Certain websites are completely pants on head stupid. A good example is Microsoft. Microsoft will allow you on their store page make a password that is not able to work. I think they tap out at, I think, at 18 characters, but they'll let you create an account with a much longer password. So you can create a password you can't log in with. It's like the old solipsism logic of, can God create a rock too big it can't lift? Can Microsoft allow you to create a password too big to log in with? So yes, they are dumb like that. But a lot of places like my bank, I'm allowed to have a 40 character password, which is fantastic, because I have a password that I can remember easily. But I cannot worry about somebody else guessing it, and no dictionary cracker is going to be able to go after that, because the amount of times and number of attempts it would take to get into it would take longer than we have left before the heat death of the universe. So, if the system doesn't allow you to use a long sentence like that, take three or four words, three or four nouns, jam them together. XKCD, I think, or SMBC, one of the two, had a good comic about this that I'll see if I can find and tack into the show notes for this, where they say, they give this example of, I think it was pineapple, monkey, camel, or something like that. And so your mnemonic device is, there's a monkey with a pineapple riding a camel, and you use that as your password. So if you wanted to set your Facebook password to that, imagine that the monkey with a pineapple riding a camel is looking at a book with a face on it. You'll be able to remember that password. You won't even have to write it down. If you're thinking about LinkedIn, and say your password is a pear and a dog and a duck. So you have a duck chasing a dog that has a pear in its mouth. And for that to be your LinkedIn password, there's a chain around the dog's neck. So think about the chain being the link there. So, hey, there you go. You've got a long password that nobody's going to be able to hack and is going to be secure until LinkedIn gets hacked again. So this has been my top 10 password myths. Hopefully I've been informative. Hopefully I haven't hit you with too much. Fire us any questions at the podcast on Twitter. If you have any comments or suggestions, or if I you disagree with me. And we'll see you next Top 10 Tuesday.